Welcome, friends and adventurers, to another episode of Dungeons and Blackguards. I am the Dungeon Master, Robulon. Joining me in no particular order are the players. Eric.
I'm Eric, and I'm playing Dr. Zozo Brightfeather. She is a level 9 Arakocra Artificer Potionsmith.
Brandon.
Hi, I'm Ekaruk Poochley, level 9 Bloodhunter Half-Orc.
Caleb.
I'm a level 9 Warforged Barbarian, Kaito Itata.
Brayden.
Hey, I'm Brayden. I'm playing Half-Elf Beller Diggar, level 9 Hexblade Warlock.
Tomo.
Hey, I'm playing Steve Tegman. I am a Gloomstalker Ranger level 5, Battlemaster Fighter level 3, and I have just a little schmeck of rogue. And I have an owl too.
Vale.
I am playing Joe Hawk the Knoll, a Champion Fighter 4, Bear Totem Barbarian 5.
Previously on Dungeons and Blackguards, Kaitoa and Zozo are still not making it up the zigzag stairway carved into the Cliff of Maw. Rook, Steve, and Beleg step out into the small fishing town, which contains a transportation circle, which immediately begins to activate. Enter Johawk, Knoll fighter barbarian who is transported all the way from the city of Iz, a place which the party is intimately familiar with. As the exhausted, half-drowned, half-orc Rook, holding his head in his hands, still feeling the effects of summoning his great old one ancestral spirit to frighten the Kraken, Rook storms off. This leaves only Beleg Half-Elf Warlock and Ranger Boy Steve to contend with the Knoll, whose one leg is trapped up to the ankle in the huge marble transportation circle, bearing a weapon, a strange hatchet, and another artifact, the other stone of far speech.
This wallet.
What's that?
I said I want it.
I know. This creature is recognized by the party as both a potential foe and a potential source of information. How indeed did this Knoll get here? And what were the words they were chanting as their form materialized, albeit with a minor accident? Now, as a brief exchange of intimidation and information escalates to the drawing of blood, a new threat emerges from the marble transportation circle. 5 stone figures, gargoyles, each styled and armed differently, but all activated and pursuing the party of Beleg and Steve, plus this somewhat restrained and yet still ferocious Knoll to the structure nearest to the circle, which is a covered fish market and tannery. And now, with the still exhausted other 3 party members resting on the giant stairway down to the dock of Maw, where the mimic chest and the robot gene are stowed. What is your next course of action? Steve, you are up at the top of the order, and then Rook, I will have you roll initiative.
The this area that we're in, is it is there a floor to it, or are there loose stones, rocks, that kind of thing?
It is the somewhat melting sort of permafrost, hard-packed ground.
Are there any... So I've been throwing knives at these gargoyle things, these stone things, and that's been doing a particular type of damage. I want to be able to do a different kind of damage, and I want it to be bludgeoning. I'm looking for something that I can use as a projectile that will do that type of damage.
Hmm. Okay. You could roll a perception.
Sweet.
Rob, for initiative, I rolled a 19, yeah.
Okay, sweet.
That is a perception of 13.
Are you checking your surroundings, or are you thinking about equipment that you or your other party members might have as well?
Well, I'm looking around. I actually don't have any kind of ammunition that would necessarily be bludgeoning.
Right, bludgeoning, I mean, there is perhaps a couple of fist-sized stones, but as you look at them, Steve, you don't feel that would do a ton of damage. As you look at your one quarry, you know, you did smash an arm off at the wrist, but it did take like four shots, and you did feel resistance to that sort of piercing and slashing. What else in your move? No, there's not much around in the environment.
Okay.
Could I take an action to speak?
Yes, certainly, Joe Hawk.
What are you looking for?
They're made of stone. I want to crush them.
Can I pull out my flail and toss it to him?
You certainly could. You know, that'll kind of consume a part of your move when it comes up, but this would be a dex for you to throw it and Steve to catch it.
I'm not going to throw it at him. I'm going to slide it along the ground so that way he doesn't get hurt.
Face.
It's a face of flail.
All right, well, then give me a strength, and let's see if it skids across the ground.
All right. I have disadvantage because of his exhaustion, but because I'm raging, I have advantage, so it all cancels out.
It all evens out.
And that's a natural 4 for a total of 8.
Okay, Steve, this flail comes within about 5 feet of your grasp. What are you doing?
I'm still interested in giving those rocks a shot, because they are bludgeoning damage versus piercing. Short of
everything
these things
does
being
a lot of damage with Hunter's Mark.
Yeah, and I'm good. My arm's good for throwing. So
this arm is made for throwing.
This arm is
that's
made
just
for throwing.
What it'll do?
Sure. I mean, I'm gonna like thanks. I don't like running up and hitting things with stuff though. I'm gonna go for the rocks.
Okay, you will be able to dislodge one,
right,
maybe two. Fist-sized rocks, Steve, you know, but at this point I'd say you've probably consumed about, you know, maybe one of your action. You can certainly attack with one of these rocks, but are you just throwing it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Back to basics. Okay, who are you targeting?
This is reminding me of the first episode.
Yeah, no kidding.
Taking it back to episode one. Judging from what is happening here, I believe the archer's had its arm knocked off. Is that the case?
That is correct. This okay. Winged archer, airborne at the moment.
I'm going to fastball special the dragon, then the one right in front of us.
Roll on AC.
Hey, Rob, what's the purple and what's the red?
Purple is airborne. Red is damaged.
Damaged. Okay, cool. I'm
trying to remember. I guess it's just thrown. I can use my dexterity as well. It's been a while since I've tossed a rock.
Yeah, use your dex modifier.
Oh, God, that's terrible. It's, no matter what happens, I mean, I tried to do the sharpshooter attack, and I got an 8.
Oh, wait. Caleb.
Oh! Guys, there is a puff of steam from where you know to be the top of the staircase up the cliff.
Toot, toot.
Kaitoa, can you roll initiative?
I guess. I just woke up.
Hey, that just means you won't fall asleep during the session.
That's true. What do I got? 14.
14. Okay, coming in after Beleg. Okay, Steve, that was a terrible throw. And
that was shit.
They don't allow just stones.
Are dejected. What's next?
Movement, I guess. I'm gonna scoot over to where the gnoll tossed the flail.
Are you gonna pick that up? It's just by your foot.
Can I do a little like toe flip?
Oh, yeah, love it. What's your passive dex here? Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, you do a fancy little move.
Oh, I don't want you to hit yourself in the face.
just kick the flail right up into my nuts.
Don't break it. It's Yino Goose.
You should tie a string to it and just throw it at people. Make your own little flail of returning.
Yeah, and Steve, you hear the gnoll there invoke the name of their, their deity. Watch that flail. Rook, you are on deck.
Ooh.
Rook, you know the scene well, but now you have about 2 dashes ahead of you if you want to join this battle. What are you doing? You have sort of gone back to see that Kaitoa and Zozo are indeed resting there at the top of the stairs. There they are. What are you doing?
So how far away is...
Let's say if you double dash, I mean, you could be up to 3 or 4 rounds of combat away.
Oh, they're up there. Okay. Yeah, I'll dash
as far as I can. Oh, Jesus, we're far away.
And I'm going to turn to Kaitoa and say, we got some damage to do. Got to egg him on.
Inspiring words, Rook. Okay, you guys going to start the dashing?
I am, yeah. On and go.
Okay, are you doing nothing else in your move then other than running back to the transportation circle? Will you definitely see a fight now?
I am. While I'm running, I'm going to pull out my Bergen's blade just to have a weapon.
Arm yourself. All right, I will let you guys run an additional 10 feet. Of your movement as you were inspired by the half-orc's rousing huzzah there. You are up, Beleg, and you see a toot of steam first coming from over the top of the large staircase, and then you see the form of Rook. He is dashing, but he's still about 300 plus feet away. You're up. What are you doing?
I'm gonna just throw an Eldritch Blast at both the airborne gargoyle
okay.
thing.
One at each. Roll on AC.
One's a 22. That hits.
That hits.
Which does not hit. So that's just 5 damage, but blown back 10 feet.
Okay. Dragon or archer?
Fuck, I rolled them both at the same time. I feel like I should leave it up to you. And not retroactively choose.
Okay, I'll use my special dice. Dragon gets pushed back 10 feet.
Good bastard.
Beleg, what else in your move? And you've just kind of peered around the pillar, have you?
Yep. I'd like to notice the guys.
Okay.
I am also going to retreat slightly, so I'm beside Steve, between Steve and Mr. Noel, Joe Hawk.
Okay there, Beleg, you now put a little distance between you and your right smack dab underneath.
Yeah, sober Beleg is less willing to stand on the front line when he's got less than half health.
Ouchie.
Old sober Beleg. He's now fun.
Kaitoa, as you say that, you are up.
Okay, can
and
I...
You additionally will have that benefit of Rook's inspiring words there. You will add like 10 feet to your movement if you are doing nothing but going to dash to reach your party. So that would be 50 doubled, which would be 100.
No, it still seems really insignificant.
Yeah, it's like 4 rounds of combat away.
Do I have a clear line of sight?
Yes. Roll perception with advantage with your eagle eyes. Zoom in.
Eagle eyes. Got 18 plus. Sorry.
Kraken 20. Yeah.
22. Yeah.
22. There is a line of stone figures. They are encroaching upon what you see to be Beleg, Steve, and a knoll. And these are all within 50 feet of each other. So there seems to be a fight taking place right now. And Rook has just taken off towards them. Otherwise, you know, you're looking at this town, this fishing town. All of the shutters have been closed. All of the doors with little number plates on them have been shut.
Do I see, just because I'm catching up with my vision, do I see, like, who they're fighting?
Gargoyles.
Okay.
But not cookie-cutter gargoyles. 5 of different appearance.
Oh, like the TV show Gargoyles.
Classic.
Great show.
That was a great show. Okay, I will sprint my 100
Okay. You're catching up to Rook.
And did... Was there any kind of resting that happened?
Oh, you were here for that too.
I have to ask. I was sleeping pretty heavy.
For 15 minutes.
15 minutes. Just a hard power nap.
I like how when a rest is involved, Kaitoa sleeps really deeply. But when it's not involved, Kaitoa doesn't sleep.
No, I don't sleep at all. Hey, the construct can do minimal tasks while resting. And so why can I not rest and do minimal task like kick a boat?
Why not I, a rested man? Why not I?
Oh, that sounds
a
like Oldfoot.
Chinese dinner?
Yeah, you got it.
That sounds like Oldfoot. Look, he got the death he wished for. Now, you are
no,
actually...
No, he got the death I wished for.
You actually are, Kaitoa, you are doing a little bit of extra menial labor. You have a new backpack, and it's called Dr. Zozo.
Nice. Feathery.
Kaitoa, anything else in your move? You've rolled perception, you've rolled your 100. Yeah, you guys are still like three rounds away.
Does anyone see us coming? Or do we have surprise?
The town is shut up tighter than a drum, and these gargoyles, you are flanking them. So there is the chance, Kaitoa and Rook, that you will not be seen.
Whoop whoop.
Pull over the ass to that.
And Joe Hawk, you are up.
I take it the gargoyles are not 20 feet away. They're farther than that, aren't they?
The first gargoyles are approximately 50 feet away. Airborne gargoyles are also about 60 away.
I don't have the kind of movement for that. So I'm going to move under or behind this, the beam where I think Beleg was hiding at the start of his turn.
The very same, and I wonder if those little Kodama circle is still there.
It'd be great if it was.
Ask the ranger boy, Noel, because I think that thing does persist for 10 as long as he's moving it along.
Yeah, I mean, it's that's a good question to see if it's... It is a concentration spell.
You have not been hit.
I've not been hit, and I have not cast any other concentration spells.
That is true.
And it is for up to a minute. So it's been, it'll be 10 rounds of combat. It has been going for about like 4. Yeah, so then it would be wherever Beleg was,
Okay, we'll draw the healing pool. And if you choose to move that pool, you have to use a bonus action, right, Steve?
Yes, I use a bonus action. Okay. I can move it 30 feet.
Hey, Rob.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Would I have had a healing roll for my last turn because I was standing there?
Do you get that, Steve, at the beginning? How does that trigger? Their turn or your turn?
Whenever you or a creature you can see moves into the spirit space for the first time on a turn or starts its turn there, you can call spirit to restore 1d6 hit points to that creature.
I did start a turn there. Well, then, Beleg, yes, you would get one more nice little massage from the Kodamas.
Retcon!
Yeah. Retroactive healing is the best, but Joe Hawk, your healing is in your move. You have moved into the space.
These things are foreign to me, so I'm going to bite at them passively, and then I'm going to ready...
They feel so good!
I'm going to ready my attack action... To attack anything if they approach me. How much healing do I get?
Okay, a readied action. 1d6, was that it, Steve?
Yes. Now, do they want to heal him, though?
That's it said you may. So, as you bite, can you roll your choice? What are you rolling? What would you say would describe your activity? Because you kind of do want in the circle of love, as Beleg kind of says, it's so good, try it.
Drink the Kool-Aid.
It feels so warm on your legs.
Slap the vein.
I am going to intimidate it. Then show me how good it is.
So you want to roll low, I think, Joe Hawk. You want to roll low.
Fortunately, I rolled a natural 3.
All right!
Total of 6.
You are not at all affecting the healing power of these small spiritual creatures. And in fact, guys, again, you see this gnoll display that other side, right? The new side, the new pack, the prognol. He's not all froth and spit. In this case, he actually, he loves these little Kodama's healing.
The prognol, I like
soft,
that.
Soft, passionate side.
Prognol. The prognosis.
Prognosis negative.
Is that an episode title?
Oh, it's got the Seinfeld baked right in. Yeah, that is good.
Negative.
Yeah. And it just came so naturally. Okay, you have a ready to action. You are holding your maul. Are you holding your maul with two hands?
Yes.
Guess what? Those little Kodamas go and heal the horrible dagger wound in your hand from Steve.
Awesome. How much do I get back?
Who rolls? Kodamas or the creature, Steve?
I will roll it.
Yeah.
You get a 5.
Hey, these are pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. There is a line of sight, though. Noel, I would say you are under virtually full cover. Steve and Beleg as well, you're kind of trying to keep that angle between you, but there are 5 gargoyles, and there are only 3 of you, and there are only so many pillars here, and the melee fighters dash in. One of them is dashing towards Beleg, and Beleg, you are getting a face full of these 2 blades. This is a terrifying gargoyle creature here.
Do I get AO?
You do. You do. And they have just triggered your PAM.
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 And can you roll double the damage dice? Was that a critty?
Yeah, it was a critty.
Yeah, Joe Hawk, right behind you, you hear the stomping of stone, and then you hear the whooshing of a blade.
So that's 13 magical slashing.
One of those legs comes right off.
Peace out, leg.
You didn't need that.
Beleg, 15 plus 4.
Does that hit my AC?
That does hit your AC.
Yeah, my AC is 16.
Okay. Oh, it's like it's coming at you with claws. Like these blades are extensions of its stony hands. Ouchie! That's 9 damage.
Back to the Kodamas! Back to the Kodamas!
A second gargoyle here has dashed in under the eaves and through the pillars. The third with this huge mace attacks you, Joe Hawk, from around the pillar. They have rolled a 15.
Total?
Total.
That matches my AC.
Meets it, beats it. And they're going to take this flail. Oh, that's kind of fitting. Ow. Oh, and they're going to hit you with a walloping 12 damage.
You mean 6.
Half.
Because of raging.
Ooh, we got another burb.
Fuck. You guys all know it's always sunny, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Fuck, I just, with Steve hiding behind the knoll, all I can think of is you gotta pay the knoll toll to get inside the boy's soul.
Did you just say boy's hole?
All I can think of right now.
Oh, man.
A lance comes flying into the midst of the party. I mean, Steve and Beleg, this lance hits right at your feet, but it has struck neither of you. Then arrows flying at you, Noel, but you are under full cover, so these are coming at massive disadvantage. Oh, no, a stone arrow buries itself into the pillar, to the beam here. And then finally, this very attractive looking gargoyle here turns towards the party, and they're going to use the second part of their movement. They have not rolled attack at all to dash in behind Steve.
Well, hello.
Oh, God.
And there, at the top of the order, is Steve.
Sorry, I forgot my readied action.
You are on deck, and then, yes, you will get to deal your readied action against the flail man.
Right now?
Right now.
All right. Darn. Not a natural one, but 13.
A total? That does not hit.
Do I get a second attack with my readied action, or is it only one?
In this case, we usually parlay. If you've held your whole move and you're a fighter, attack twice.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, you can roll a second time. And, yeah, the magic number here on these gargoyles is just like yours.
Natural 20!
Oh, hey! The maul.
I've rolled a 6, 5, 1, and 2, and I get to reroll 1s and 2s.
Oh, fuck.
Nice.
5 into 1, so I reroll the 1, and that's almost maximum damage. It's 12.
You got a well-specced gnoll there, my friend.
22 plus my strength mod is 4, so 26 damage.
Well, there is a very optimized hit coming down at this gargoyle bearing a flail and shield. And can you say how you deal an enormous blow?
Just like I did with the gnoll that tried to encroach me earlier, I'm going to use the momentum of my missed attack, bring it over my head, and slam.
Ah, oh, nice.
Ouch. Oh, that's kind of how you dispatched Cutlass, was that gnoll's name.
I think that was also a crit when I did that.
Yeah, and bloodied. If a gargoyle could be, we'll say he is pebbly. He is rocky. He is rupturing at the seams.
Rocky roller.
Steve, now you're up.
All right, so this stone chick has now come... Is in combat distance, like 5 feet?
Within your 10 feet, this figure has not engaged.
Okay. So I can, in fact, move away.
Certainly.
Where are our friends? Our other friends?
You can roll a perception. I think Bellic definitely... No, everybody noticed the 2 to steam. You would not have to roll to note the huge hulking rook... And even larger Kaitoa are dashing about a football field length away.
They are indeed piling in. Okay, I am going to, in perfect Stevian fashion, make my little move.
No!
Put a body in between me and...
Putting Pam between you. Okay. Yeah, dash around.
Yeah. And I want to see if I still have that... second rock in hand, correct?
Correct.
Okay. I'm going to wing it at this guy right here.
Oh, you're hucking it at the one who Beleg has glaived. Okay, roll an AC. Yep.
That's so much better. Okay, 19 to hit.
That connects.
Right. So sharpshooter shot. I'm gonna beam that thing in the side of the face.
Plus 10.
I believe a rock is D4 damage. Yeah, so it'd be 4 plus 3, 7 plus 10, 17.
17. Okay, that's still very impressive. And just like you say, it whacks him in the side of the head.
Does it seem like it's doing more than my... my daggers, or is that just,
Oh, yes. And in fact, this gargoyle's head whips around at you, and although it makes no sound, you can tell it is snarling at you noiselessly. So half of its head has been destroyed.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay, I don't have any other rocks. I'm going to spend the rest of my turn grabbing more rocks then. They seem to be doing better damage.
Okay, we'll have a little harvesting. You can again pick up 2 rocks, and although the ground is very hard, yeah, you can dislodge 2 more.
Okay. One in each hand, so to speak.
And that is what you are armed with. Okay, yep.
Nice.
Rook, you are up, and now there is clearly a melee fight ensuing.
Okay. Can I see how many people or assailants there are attacking them?
You can make out at least four.
Four? Okay. And they're fully focused on them. They don't see us coming?
The moment you and Kaito are coming in their blind spot, in fact, even more so now that they seem to be engaging under the eaves of this structure that has no walls, right? It's just big timber beams supporting an arched roof.
Okay, well, I'm going to keep dashing. Let's see Kaitoa coming up. So I'm going to keep dashing along. I don't think I've got a bow to make any sort of range fire. Yeah.
That bow was lost to the ocean with Oldfoot. There you can dash another 80, Rook. And is there anything you would do in your move? Anything to cast in front of you? Any way to increase your momentum?
Don't think I have anything else to really do at this point, so I'm going to go up, 80? Kind of right about there. As I run, I'm just going to have to do that for now. Kind of keep going with Kaitoa, waving him on. Let's do this.
Okay. Kaitoa, you're on deck after Beleg. Beleg, you're up, buddy.
I want to say I have one more spell slot, but I can't guarantee it.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, that sounds about right. It sounds like you're going to have to consult your patron.
If she remembers what you remember. Did I attack you with any big spells, Vale?
No, you didn't. Just your glaive.
Just the glaive, right? Yeah, that if I didn't spend any spells.
You have one slot for sure.
Checks out. Then I cast Armor of Agathys.
Armor of Frosty Agathys on yourself.
Yeah, so 20 temporary hit points, and then any melee attacks that hit me while I have those temporary hit points, whoever launched that attack at me takes 20 damage automatically.
Okay, that's your action. Anything else?
I don't particularly want to evoke an attack of opportunity here. So no. Just gonna stay frosty while this dragon gargoyle is right in my face and
face.
They are coming near. They are coming very near. And yeah. Okay, nothing else there in your move. Okay, you snap your fingers. You got the frosty Agathys on and 14.
The nipples are rock hard.
Kaitoa, you are up. And now you have, with the last move, you are now in lockstep with Rook. You know, with one more dash, you will actually be ahead of him.
Hey.
Got that barb speed.
Yeah. We'll 10 feet ahead. All right.
Okay. And you guys pass what looks like an absolutely shut down, but delicious fish on a stick. Stall.
Sorry, guys, but you gotta eat.
And Zozo almost falls off your back, but she's there. Okay, and
I'm gonna yell at Rook that I'm gonna drop my heavy crossbow for him.
Oh, nice.
If he wants it.
So I'm gonna go in swinging, and I don't need it.
I'm gonna, I'll bet. Yeah,
just
nod back.
Yeah, to replace his bow.
That is your Gnollish heavy crossbow.
Yeah,
but I want it back.
Yeah.
Possession's 9/10 of the law. Sucker.
Yeah, exactly.
You, Rook, speak of law.
Bah.
All right, you guys are closing in. Now the building is only a dash and a half away, and your party's only two dashes away. As you guys arm yourself and run up, you're coming up, Joe Hawk.
Okay.
Joe Hawk.
This creature in front of you, still the dust is partially in the air from you dealing this massive blow, but they are not vanquished.
I'm going to take my first I'm going to get my healing, I think, because I started my turn in the aura.
Oh, yes. The battle-hardened Kodamas will... Steve, do you want to roll a 1d6 for the battle-hardened Kodamas healing?
That's another 5.
Sweet. That's an effective 10 hit points. I'm going to take my first attack, and I will reckless. So I'm getting advantage in exchange for them having advantage on me.
Okay.
I'm thinking that hits with a natural 18.
Yeah, you're connecting. Roll damage.
6 and a 1. Rerolled to total of 14 bludgeoning damage.
You feel with this blow, Joe, that you are within inches of reducing this gargoyle to below fighting capability.
Then I'm going to spend my second attack at it. 17 to hit.
That hits.
For another 2d6. 13 damage.
Can you describe how you absolutely decimate what remains of this flail and shield wielding gargoyle?
The first hit is going right for its chest as a kind of overhand swing. And then I'm going to quickly pull it back and jump up and smash its head into the pillar I'm right next to.
A huge smash into the pillar, and great use of the environment there. We'll have that pillar probably... Oh, that begins to crack. Oh, boy, that was a pretty important pillar. Look, it was right in the middle of the T intersection. The whole area around Joe Hawk and the vanquished gargoyle begins to collapse.
Not good.
You're okay, but all of a sudden some of the sunlight kind of streaks through some of the rafters above. Anything else in your move, Joe Hawk? There is the one gargoyle behind you being dealt with by Beleg. To your left is this stealthy-looking gargoyle with a saber, and then the two airborne ones outside.
I'm going to see my opportunity to flank this guy, and I'm going to come right up behind it.
Okay, over to the next pillar, over to the next gargoyle. Anything else? Mm-hmm.
That'll be my turn.
Okay. Gargoyles are up, and it is this one who acts first. That is not going to hit Beleg, not even close. Okay. And ha! They make 2 attacks. At least this guy does. That is a 15 plus 4, Beleg.
That hits me.
Oh. Okay, and it's 8 damage.
Why did that sound Dante?
8 damage?
8 damage.
Alright, it takes 20 cold damage.
Ouch! Okay, so he's slashed by stone, but then you are dealing ice damage back.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. 20?
Yep.
Frosty.
That spell is awesome as it scales.
Frosty, and Joe Hawk, you also now would see the sort of front quarter, the very sharp, bitey front of this gargoyle get all encased in frost.
I use it as cover.
Were you between the pillar and the frosty gargoyle, and this gargoyle now looks over to his vanquished friend, who is now just a pile of rubble, and the ranged, barfing stone dragon, 14... total on the knoll.
Is that with advantage?
That was not with advantage.
You get advantage. Mm.
That is going to be a 16 total.
Damn. That
very honest. Not good for you.
You shouldn't have said nothing.
No, it's great.
Stone lance is produced.
You just
from...
get to see how many hits I can take.
Oh, but that's really not all that bad. That's only 14 damage for you in the form of a stone lance.
So that's 7 damage.
Halved, and then arrows flying from the winged avian angel-like gargoyle with the bow. Only one hand left on this archer, so they are rolling at disadvantage. It doesn't matter, though. This is going to hit you, my friend Noel.
Okay.
We got a 19 and a 16, so either are going to hit you. this gargoyle packs a punch, buddy. Yep. That's 18 damage.
Nine.
Okay. And finally, the stealthy gargoyle here with the saber moves again just outside of Beleg's scrunchy range, outside of the PAM zone, and attacks Steve.
The PAM zone. Very different than the friend zone.
Steve, you feel a saber.
It's the friend zone.
That is 17.
Meets it, beats it.
Although it's just as painful as being in the friend zone.
You are sliced by a stone saber for 13 damage.
Ouch.
Fuck.
Okay,
is that like the fourth time Steve's taken damage this entire campaign?
There's definitely less than a half. Yeah, less than 10 times.
I've taken that all in one session?
No kidding. Guys, you hear the ranger boy exclaim, ouch. And truly, these gargoyles are absolutely soundless and noiseless. It's only you, the party, making noise. Steve, you are up. Rook, you're on deck.
All right, well. Since we're in the fight here, Steve's going to pull.
Grab the flail.
I guess Steve is going to pull the flail in one hand. Oh, can I do that? Hold on.
Yeah, are you proficient in martial?
Oh yeah, for sure. I can use just about anything.
Beleg and Joe Hawk, who armed Steve with the flail, I will award you each one inspiration.
Oh, nice!
Hey.
And Steve, as Beleg shouts it to you, and as you look down at this weapon, it's certainly available to you.
Yeah, I'll use the flail. Sure, why not? All right, I'm going to attack the gargoyle with the said flail. So first attack, I get a plus one to hit. 18 to hit.
That hits.
D8 damage. I'm using my strength bonus, which isn't fantastic, but it is likely the damage I'm looking to do.
Okay.
So that is 4 damage.
It is not the damage you're looking to do.
Okay. Yep, the chain whips out and deals that damage. Anything else?
I have a second attack, so I'm going to do it again. So that's a 17 to hit.
That hits again.
That is 5 damage.
Again, Steve, minor damage.
Well, I'm hitting it. I just get a D8 plus my one.
It is fun to imagine Steve swinging a flail.
Just swinging a flail around.
For the first time in years, if ever.
Yeah.
Well, Steve, you are engaged. Anything else as your foe barely flinches?
Yeah, bonus action. I'm going to be like, Kodama, what's up? Hook me up, give me some spice, and get them to shift over to where I am standing.
Okay. How far can you move 30 feet at a time? That is perfect. Just in range.
Yay!
And guys, the little regiment of battle-hardened Kodamas, they are a-moving. And they go by Beleg, and Beleg, guess what? You will get 1d4 of healing.
Yeah. Do you want me to roll it?
Yes.
Sure. They just kiss you lightly as they
and they
I'll take it.
Just managed to make it to you, Steve.
So I looked it up and I couldn't find it online. But healing doesn't affect temporary healing. It only affects my hit points, right? Or temporary hit points. It would only heal my actual hit points.
Correct. Healing doesn't restore temporary hit points.
Yeah. Why no online source doesn't say that distinctly.
Rook, you are up.
I am... Well, Kaito has left his crossbow for me, so I'm going to, as I'm running, going to grab... Well, put away my Bergen's blade and bend down and grab it.
Okay. What are you doing with this crossbow? You are in range.
Okay.
Nullish has 100 to 400 range. And it's a D10
damage, piercing damage.
Yeah.
So D10, and then it'd be the same adders as like a bow and arrow. Or
yeah,
crossbow
your attack
for me,
bonus.
Right? So I'm actually going to imbue this with the what I'm going to do with the rite of the frozen, which means well, Rook or Rob, how much hit damage do you have me down for right now? Like, where am I at on my hit points?
Oh boy, yeah. Well, you died.
Yeah.
Let's start with that.
I got that, and then I had a nice long rest.
And I have you back now, I think, to something like 47.
47? Let's see, yeah. I just got to double check my what I'm doing here with my crimson.
But other than that, like, you have not had a short rest.
You know, Rob, they say that 15-minute naps are a lot more beneficial to the human body than one-hour naps, right?
See?
It's like Leonardo da Vinci.
I will say that, like a cat, or for a cat nap, I did circle around Kaito and Zozo a few times and kind of, you know, nestled in there before I really got it. I made sure it was super comfy.
Oh, man, I can just imagine you guys.
40 winks, bro.
So, right of the frozen, your damage right is cold. Oh, I see. Yeah, on your ranged weapon.
Yeah, so it'll be on the range. So, mm-hmm. as I shoot it, so I suffer 7, well, mm-hmm. or actually 8 damage. So that'll bring me to 39. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to take aim at the gargoyles, I guess, as I'm running, gargoyle closest to us.
It's the back of the two airborne ones. There's like an airborne sort of avian looking archer, and then there is a stone dragon, and they are about 15 feet up into the air, and they are totally taking pot shots under the eaves of this structure. So either one of those.
You just sit here and eat fish and shoot a crossbow.
So that's 19.
Okay, well, good, because warning, only one shot with this massive crossbow. And you hit, and then you're going to use, what, a cold damage D8 plus the D10?
Yeah.
Plus your regular modifier, okay.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
He bangs. I wasn't even thinking about your hit points to be like, oh, right, Rook died.
That's funny.
You might not want to run into combat here.
You were the one who pulled him from the waves there, Kaizo. Yeah,
I know.
Regular piercing damage is 8, and then on my cold right damage, it's going to be a 4.
Okay.
Try this gargoyle from my cold right hand.
Blasts, then, Rook, you do see your huge crossbow bolt blast into this winged foe, and there is an explosion of frost and stone.
Any
Are we
visible...
cold bros right now?
We are, yeah.
Like Ben and Jerry over here?
Okay, guys, listen
cold
to this.
Cold stone creamery.
Yeah.
Oh, that is fall damage. And how high did I say they were up? 15 feet? Just 1. But Rook, you also see them take some fall damage, and now they are on the ground.
Nice.
Sweet. And then I'm going to keep dashing, I guess, up. So I'm 1.5 away, right?
Yeah, you're 1.5 away. So now after this, you'll be in combat next move or just barely there.
Okay.
Wait, how much can we move?
Or
how
much? You're moving at 80. Right? You're moving at 100.
Oh, okay.
And so Rook, yeah, after you here. Is Beleg. Beleg, you will note that one of the gargoyles has been taken down, and you give a little cheer. And Kaitoa, you're on deck next, and then Joe Hawk.
Yep. Rook, you should have just hid by this fish shack and just popped shots off.
I thought about it.
Yeah. Just eating fish and shooting.
But Rook's evil side kind of takes over. He just wants to get in there and fuck something up.
Ew.
All right. I'm going to move over to the gargoyle that's attacking Steve.
Okay, are you leaving the melee range of Slicey and Dicey?
Yep, take that attack of op.
Okay, let's see how he does. And I'm trying to hit you, Beleg, with a nat 1. God, it's embarrassing kick for this ass. Gargoyle.
That is. Hey, man, you know what? It's better for the gargoyle than taking 20 cold damage.
Oh, that's right. Oh, I see your strategy there, sly warlock.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they
run
whiffle.
Over and protect old Stevie. Yeah. All right, and then I am going to throw a double Eldritch Blast at the little stealthy gargoyle that attacks Steve.
Point blank range. Will you tee up those two E blasts? Two rolls on AC.
Fuck. It's a 15 and a 12.
15 hits, 12 does not.
Sweet. 7 damage and blow him back 10 feet.
Whoa! Okay, and you're blowing her back in the direction away from you and Steve towards the kind of east corner of the structure?
Yep. And then to finish my turn, I'll move right next to Steve so that if she goes to get close to him again, that she's got to take an opportunity attack from me.
Very strategic moves and sword play going on here. Anything else, Beleg?
Just a quick shoulder nudge to Steve. Gotcha, buddy.
Thanks, man. Can I do a wink and a gun?
You certainly can. What, to Beleg?
Yeah, I'll just kind of like do look at the hands for a second and try to do the one that he did just recently.
Oh, Steve, and your back is warm with the coursing of blood from that stone saber.
Oh, if I can, I'd like to be like slightly into Kodamas as well.
Like, that's tough though, here. No, Beleg, you're either protecting Steve or you're getting the massage from the Kodamas. It's one or the other.
I'll protect Steve.
What about like 1 foot in?
1 foot, one ankle in. Okay, I tell you what, man. If you get one ankle in there,
yeah.
I'll give you the D6 on disadvantage. Okay.
Yeah.
D6 on disadvantage when it comes around, and you are up, Kaitoa.
Okay, I'm running. I can't move Zozo still. So.
Oh, Zozo is totally still on your shoulder. You keep on dropping her. And you keep on picking her back up, but you are charging.
Can you just give me access to her and I'll move her?
Yeah, I'll give you the token.
Does that mean I have access to Zozo's bag of tokens?
Oh, Jesus.
No.
Oh, man.
Just start hucking anything. I have no idea what it does.
Throwing all the things. This is a liability.
Random, like, the only thing. A D6 mechanic where you just reach into the bag and roll a D6 and whatever you pull out of the throat.
I have no idea what it's going to do, guys.
The only thing you can throw is Zozo herself or a completely. I will give you a completely random flask, sure.
That'd be hilarious. Okay. I'm going to hold off on that one. I moved up. I had a rook. Okay, that's it for my turn.
Okay. You guys are so close.
Yet far.
Joe Hawk, your strategic maneuvering has paid off. And now there is a very vulnerable gargoyle that's been smashed in the head by a rock, glaived a couple times, and is all frosty right in your 5 foot range.
All right. I'm going to spend my first attack swinging it upwards from underhanded.
Let's hope there's nothing special between this gargoyle's legs.
Reckless attacking, so everything is advantage against me for a natural 17.
That'll hit.
Wow, I'm so good at dealing almost max damage. Total of 15 damage.
Okay, well now you see one of the whole wings and the whole side of it, the kind of Beleg and Steve were poking away at, right? The face is gone, it was glaived. Now the wing comes off, the leg the Beleg took off is in rubble on the ground. There's very little left to this gargoyle.
Well, what comes up is I swung my hammer up, second attack coming down. Natural 19, that's a crit.
Oh, critting on the 19, so double your damage dice, and you're just ragdolling this stone figure.
This is
going to
be an overkill.
My dice didn't love me last session, but they're making up for it this time.
Hey, Steve, you want small pieces of rock to throw at people?
Stop rolling two.
Because I think there's about to be a whole bunch of small pieces of stone to throw.
Yeah, no shit.
I just imagine
damage.
Just imagine Steve as like David with a little slingshot.
Yeah.
Joe Hawk, you have whipped this creature up into the air and then smashed them back down into the frozen ground. And
there used to be a phenomenal Sub-Zero combo that did that in Mortal Kombat.
There is so little left of this gargoyle that, in fact, Steve, actually, as you would hope, there is some really nice munitions now if you wanted to throw some stones. Yeah. But Joe Hawk,
is it dead?
Your foe here is vanquished. He's dead.
So did the shooters, are they within my reach if I move to them?
One of them has been taken out of the air. The archer, right. The avian-looking archer. But the dragon that spits stone lances is 50 feet out and 15 feet up.
So as my racial feature, I move half my speed and then make a bite attack. Except there's when I move half my speed, there's not going to be anyone close to me.
Yeah.
But that puts me in the ability to move all my speed and action surge, so I get to attack twice again.
Nice. Did you just bite the air?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like it's a practice thing where I like run up and like lean into it with my neck and bite something, but there is nothing there.
Is that like a roll intimidation?
It's a racial feat of my homebrew Noel.
It's like when a dog has a fly. Yeah. Like around his head, just yeah. Like, but you don't notice the fly, you just see the dog like randomly bite at the air.
Or you blow in its face.
Yeah.
So yes, I mean, you have reduced one creature to zero hit points, and now with the sort of rage, you just go out biting.
No fucking way. I promise I'm not fudging these dice, but this is a natural 20.
Oh. Nice. Roll on damage.
12, 16. Another 22 damage.
This creature is gone. Just disintegrated in a cloud of dust.
And I have nothing to use my second attack on. Oh well.
Yeah, well, 15 over and 15 up is a stone gargoyle dragon kind of hovering there, treading air.
I'll give the gargoyle another smash on the ground just to send the message home.
Oh,
locking eyes with this dragon. Intimidation check?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, intimidation check.
19 intimidation.
So, yes, you lock eyes and you now sink your huge maul into that pile of dust.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Fantasia.
That's the one.
This is when I start cackling. Maniacally.
Yes.
There is a ferocious gnoll on the battlefield that has taken this phalanx of five gargoyles numbers down from 5 to 2, and you are up! Gargoyles, they're going to launch one stone. That will not hit. That will not hit at all. And a stone lance kind of drops midair out of this dragon. Terrible aim.
Is that against Joe Hawk?
That was against you, Joe Hawk.
Did you factor in advantage?
I did not. So honest.
Oh, this is going to be another hit.
No, that is also not. That is a 5 plus 4 for 9.
Yes.
That's why your dice rolled so well. Karma.
That's that intimidation.
Okay, you have a strike coming at you, Beleg. It is definitely hitting with a 17.
Yep.
This gargoyle, I don't think, has learned, though. And so I feel there's going to be 20 coming, right?
Yep. My plan was to Eldritch Blast if she moved into my range. My Pam, to blow her back. And that's a non-nat 20. Ah, fuck off. Under couch. There we go. So that's 8 damage and 10 feet back.
Now, if she hasn't struck you, though, she didn't hit that icy Agathis, yeah?
No, she didn't. It's probably better for her.
Yeah, she's rebuffed. She is rebuffed.
But, okay. Beleg's in full porcupine mode right now.
Okay, but she attacks again.
She moves back into my range again?
She attacks again.
So do I roll another pull, like another
yep.
pan?
Yep. All right. And her face is snarling with this noiseless, terrifying snarl. Okay.
Beleg was definitely taken off guard by the fact that she came back.
Yeah, you were nat 20.
Oh, fuck.
You nat 20'd me?
That is a nat 20 right in the corner of my gorgeous dice tray. Oh, my blood man. Red dice tray. And her stone saber just comes flying into your nice cape. So that is 15 damage to you.
Ugh, fuck.
And there, you do have the one little Kodama massaging your ankle, Beleg. But you just took a slice of a stone saber. And that is the bottom of the order.
Yeah, that took my temporary hit points to zero, too. So she didn't take the 20 cold damage.
Oh, she didn't?
I don't think so.
Oh, interesting. If a creature hits you with a melee attack while you have these hit points, the creature takes the damage.
She hit me while I had them. I don't have them now, but when she hit me...
Yeah, well, in this point, I would say, yeah, of course, she hit you while you had them. No, she does take it. She does. And Beleg, you have vanquished them. They are no longer active.
Oh, the stone saber pierces me, and then from inside me, it just becomes ice. Freezing until it envelops her entire body. And then I like to think Steve poked her and she shattered.
just a kick in the ass?
Yeah. Huh. Cool spell, Beleg.
And that is where we will have to leave you until the next time on Dungeons and Blackguards.
Remember when me and Rook spent a whole game moving?
No, shit.